Hey, what's going on, y'all? This is the Block Report Podcast. I'm your host, the Magnificent TDK, aka Tafar IXL. And of course, you guys already know we are in difficult times in the world. And I could go in many directions as far as to try to give some sort of analysis or explanation of what is going on. However, first and foremost, what I would like to do is to, you know, there's a such thing as called as preparing the table. And what I mean by that, I mean as far as you got to set certain things down. It's like planting the seeds. You got to set certain things down and put them in place so that they can grow into something. Excuse me. Bear with me one moment. Grow into an understanding of things. Grow into what's going on. It's like someone was telling me the other day that they planted something and then someone told them, yeah, pull the root out. Well, if you pull the root out of something that you planted into the soil, how could you expect anything to grow back there? You'd have to replant it. I mean, this, if you pull the root out of a tree, do you think a tree is going to grow back again? I mean, this is like, I'm not insulting anyone or their level of intelligence, but you just have to understand, like, that's why you can't just listen to people. You have to have a certain kind of understanding, an inner knowing, a discernment, a level of discernment that allows for you to hear what people say and then say, well, that don't make no sense. I heard what you said, but I'm going to ignore that information that you put out there. Can't let people make a fool of you, because that's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to make a fool of you. If a tree or a plant has no roots, how is it supposed to grow from the soil? You cannot remove the roots from the soil and expect something to grow. Simple and plain. You don't have to be a botanist. You don't have to be a scientist. You don't even have to have a college degree to know something so simple as that. But anyway, we're not gonna go ahead and, the thing is that's very important. I want to stress that and bring that point home for you to understand that the reason why I do the things the way that I do is because I am planting the seeds and we are developing the roots for something, a foundation for which for you to build upon, so that when you go out there and you encounter the world, and I am no longer broadcasting, or I'm not there to broadcast for you, that you have something. You have a shield, you have your armor, and you are prepared. So, just to let you folks know, on the Block Report, you can find the Block Report on the Block Report podcast on your favorite streaming podcast streaming networks and apps such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Breaker. It's a bunch of them. They're all over the place. So the podcast is out there. Just go to your, you know, go to your search engine, put in the Block Report Podcast. It's spelled just the way that I said it. There is no THEBLOCKREPORT Podcast. PODCAST. So you have no problem finding the podcast. On this particular episode, and there's a few things that I want to talk about, and it's first and foremost, okay, I generally, first and foremost, anyway, let me first send out a shout and a shout out and an affirmation, or just say, yeah, affirmation of, well, man, you know, what is this word? I'm losing it, guys. But anyway, because it's just so many thoughts that's going through my mind. But actually, the word for the people that are suffering through the hurricane, the recent hurricane, Hurricane Laura, and those folks down there in that region, and the Texas and Louisiana region. And from what I understand, they claim that this storm somehow can reach all the way from there, from the Gulf Coast, and then turn to go to the East Coast. Quite interesting. We're living in interesting times. But I just want to send out send out love and light to all the people that are going out, that are experiencing or going through that type of situation, and hopefully that we have a minimal amount of life destroyed, because property can always be rebuilt and made again. Okay. And that brings me to another point too, as well, because people like to talk about this thing like, oh, these people are out here, the protests that are going on, you guys may have heard. And this has nothing to do with the topic that we're going to deal with, but of course, on this episode, but of course, these are the things that are going on. There was a shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin, where a young black man by the name of Jacob Blake was shot seven or eight times in the back by a race soldier. And then another race soldier who was 17 took his pale mayonnaise ass all the way from Illinois to Wisconsin to go shoot people. He shot two white folks. And it's just interesting. You're like, nobody's traveling gonna go ahead and just jump up, travel with a assault rifle or weapon, and go shoot some people and just easily walk up and, you know, so, and do these kinds of crimes and things. So that's why you have to understand and listen, understand the times that we are in and where we are at. And if you think Joe Biden is going to do something, which about it, I mean, first of all, Trump ain't going to do nothing about this type of stuff. But if you think Joe Biden or Kamala Harris is going to do something about it, I mean, listen, you had 8 years of Obama, you had 8 years of Clinton, and they have not punished not one of those non-black people that have committed crimes, especially against black folks. They don't punish them. So I don't know. I don't know what you think. I don't know if you think that somehow, You know, they got you thinking they're like, you know, this political system is like an abusive relationship, because they could lie to you and tell you that, hey, you somehow make yourself believe that this time is going to be different. These people, they built their careers telling you about like they're tough on crime. And now when they say, listen, let me put something else out there. When they say they're tough on crime, and 85% of the people that are locked up are black folks, or the majority of the people that are locked up, I mean, 85% might be, I think in New York for a while it was 85%, they wanted to classify it as black and brown. And when they say black and brown, they're talking about Hispanic folks. However, but the majority of the folks that they lock up and have locked up for a long period of time are black folks. So the thing is that that's not a coincidence. The thing is that when you have a system, when you have a system in a country, in a nation, where things come from a situation where not black people have fought in every single war that existed in this country, even fought in the war to protect and preserve the Union. And if there is no Union, there is no United States. They fought against the deserters and the usurpers called the Confederates, who wanted to separate and have a secession from the Union. Then without black people, you have no Union. You have no United States. But okay. But you can say what you want to say and think what you want to think. Anyway, though, I think I'm going a little bit off the topic, but it's because everything, you know, the thing is, the fabric of this thing is it's if I was a knitter, I'm knitting a large sweater. And the thing is that we cannot speak on things without actually giving the context of what's going on, because one little soundbite or statement means nothing. Now there are other things going on in the world, I'm sure, and we could definitely report on that as well. Here at the Block Report, though, we are focused mainly on a local level, but we will touch on a global level as well. And what I want to reassure you of is that, the matter of fact, did I tell you guys about the Block Report has a page on Instagram and Facebook, so you can contact us there. It's the Block Report. What is it? It's facebook.com/theblockreport, and I believe it's the instagram.com/theblockreportpodcast or the Block Report, one or the other. So check that out, guys. I mean, I don't want to take the time to go look it up right now. I know that sounds kind of tacky for me or whatever. That's not how I usually am. But, I mean, I basically gave you most of the information. The thing is, I just want to get into the flow of the show, but there's so much information for me to get out there. And get the flow of this thing. So let me just go ahead and let's get all of this all out here like this. But I'm not trying to really do more than an hour on this broadcast, so hold on one second, guys. Bear with me one moment and we're going to get into it. Okay. So the thing is this. the thing is, all right, so I know I said a lot of things, and we can get back into whatever I was saying when I get that, but I want to drop this thing right here, and which is the five things that non-black people say to black people when they call out unfair treatment and injustice in society. And that's what the topic of this particular episode is. Okay? There's a lot of things going on in society, but this is what I want to help, or as far as I want to offer up as a guidepost for things for you to recognize. And some of you may already know this, but for those that are coming up and thinking that everything is all roses and stuff, take off those rose-colored glasses and stuff, and then I want you to go ahead and see reality. So we're going to talk about these five things that non-black people say to black people when they call out unfair treatment and injustice society. Now, here's one thing, too. And I understand, just as a brief aside, that some people are kind of, you know, they're iffy about calling themselves black people and all this type of stuff. When I say black people, what I'm talking about is a political group. Obviously, there are no really black people or even white people. What I'm saying is, if you were to go literally and look into colors, so if you took a black crayon and a white crayon, you'd have a hard time finding someone that matched those colors. You might find, you know what though, but you might find someone that might go ahead and get a whole lot closer to black. But, you know, the thing is, you couldn't find anyone that would fit those exact colors. So what we're talking about is a political status under a system which is called white supremacy. Now look, let's talk about these five things that non-black people say to black people when black people call out unfair treatment and injustice in society. One of these things, and these things, these things happen whenever someone says this about about someone, say, like, at their workplace or their job. So let's say you had an issue or a problem with someone at your job that was a non-black person, and you are a black person. Then this is one of the, then these are some of the comments that you would hear. Oh, I know this person. They have a good heart. Now, I don't know how people know these people's hearts. I don't know how you can know someone's heart from just seeing them at the job. Because a lot of people at the job do things in order to give off a certain impression. That's not that person at home or outside of the job. You don't really know this person. So for someone to say that you're a coworker and you work with them, or not even a coworker, you're an affiliate worker, you know, because it could be, you know, it could be like a security guard talking about the janitor, you know. So this is different companies, and you'd be like, oh no, I know the janitor. He has a good heart. So y'all ain't under the same company. It's different contracts in the same building. But somehow you know that person has a good heart. Like you're living with this person or something, and you're in their heart. Just because they talk sports with you and whatever other BS or nonsense, and they acted one or two times like they cared about what you think and what you got to say, you don't have the wherewithal to say that, oh, they have a good heart. You have no evidence of that. But okay, but that's you trying to defend this person. Because you don't want to put that person in problems. You don't dislike that person. And usually that's because one of those people is from their background. And when the reason why I said non-black people, because it's not just white folks. It's a lot of other people that are non-black that are in the workplace and in society that will defend them against a so-called black person. All right. And the reason for that a lot of times is because they have all decided that black people should be at the bottom of society. Because the whole thing is that their goal and their thing is to go ahead and become honorary whites in the white society. So they have decided that because the thing is that, for one, they don't have the genius or the numbers or the history and the knowledge to compete, or the genetics to compete with black people. Anyway, we'll go to number two. Maybe it's just you're having a bad day. They try to tell you that you're having a bad day. Well, yeah, you would be having a bad day if you have a situation where you have multiple groups of people trying to subjugate you or keep you on the bottom and discriminate against you. And although you are qualified, you've met the standard, you are above the standard, they want to act as if that you are inferior. They want to give you that impression. But that's because what they are doing is they are trying to protect their position in a society that has decidedly said that we are going to try to keep black people at the bottom rung of society. And that's why that is going on. Even, and let me bring this up, because people like to always bring up, you have these athletes and these other people with millions of dollars. But yeah, but then that's why you have people like a Laura Ingraham who's making millions of dollars on Fox News that can say, well, just shut up and dribble. You don't want these, you and other people, they promote this certain type of thinking to say, well, okay, well, you should be happy because you're one of those Negroes that went ahead and made it out the hood. You know, we could have left you there in the hood and you could have got killed by one of our freaking race soldiers, but you made it and you have these millions, so why the hell are you complaining? They want you to feel grateful for them not killing you or keeping you in poverty. You gotta watch how things are being said. Number three, the five things non-black people say to black people when black people call out unfair treatment and injustice in society. Were you polite and respectful in your encounter? Now, I don't recall anyone ever saying to a white woman or white man, were you polite and respectful to this person when they had a complaint? That doesn't happen. All the forces and all the power of the white supremacist mechanism in society, with their court system, the police, and all and such, go into action when they make a complaint. I've never heard them ever say once, let's check your complaint by asking if you were polite. That That doesn't happen. And that's because the whole thing is just like the incidents with individuals like Trayvon Martin, Mike Brown, Eric Garner. The whole thing is that as a black person, they end up putting the situation and flipping it on you to show that, and others to show that somehow you did nothing wrong. They put your character and you on trial when you're the victim of unjust treatment. Well, that should show you clearly. If they had to put your character and your behavior on trial, they don't do that when it comes to a white person, so-called white person, or non-black person. They don't do that. You see all these white police out here, so-called white police, that shoot and kill and murder black folks. They don't all go to jail. No. They don't all see any type of no repercussions in the justice system. But definitely the one black cop, Muhammad Noor, who said that who happened to kill a white woman. And he said he didn't even see her. He somehow shot in the dark, which is the same thing with Peter Liang. Damn near almost the same type of situation with Peter Liang in New York. Oh, they didn't hear that story. They went in and locked his ass up quick. But Peter Liang, oh no. We're not looking for any jail time for him. So this is what the justice system is. It's not really a justice system. It's a lottery system. If you know how to rig it, shit, you can come up. And I call it also, but previously I did one called the legal system is a protection system. But yeah, if you know how to rig this thing, you can get the outcome that you want out of it. Number four. Maybe you had, well, number four leads also with number three, which is maybe you had an attitude. Even if you had an attitude, what does having an attitude have to do with you being disrespected or not receiving respectful type of treatment? I think anyone that was not treated with respect would have some sort of an attitude about it. And another thing too, men don't have attitudes. They check shit. Women might have an attitude, but men do not have attitudes. They check shit. Number five. Maybe there was a language or language barrier culture issue. This is things that people like to fall back on. But what are you doing in a country where you can't speak the language, but you want to collect checks from? So this is because they're not going to say that if there was a bunch of Africans that came from an African country that never spoke the language of the native country wherever they were working in. You think that they could go ahead and get along in there? Come on now. Let's not play this game. But anyway, guys, like I said, this was going to be a short podcast. And then I'm going to get into some other things because I'm going to put together more broadcasts to get out there to you guys for some things that are definitely going to hit on some issues, and we're going to deal with some things. So anyway, though, thank you for tuning in to the Block Report podcast. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook, and of course on all your favorite podcasting networks. And until then, Be you, be safe, be real, be dope, and we're gone. Peace.